ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney, and the law office is open early on this Saturday morning, August the 4th, 2018. And if you have a legal question of any type, that's what I'm here for. It doesn't even have to be a legal question. You just have a problem. You need to talk to somebody. I'm more than glad to share whatever I can with you to get you started in the right direction, give you a little peace of mind. Again, I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney in Florida. And if you have a legal question concerning Florida law, I'll be more than glad to help you in any way I can. All you have to do is to dial our toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Hey, your question can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, living wills. Can be about personal injury, family law, real estate. You're getting ready to buy a piece of real estate. We can talk about that a little bit. Talk about title insurance. Something happened to you on the job or with a next door neighbor, or something you're concerned about, worried about, and you need to have a legal direction or legal discussion with an attorney. Hey, it's free. I've been practicing law since 1981, and we have seven attorneys in 20 office locations. Helped next year sometime we would have helped 50,000 people with legal matters. We have 49,000 files and counting with different legal issues. So it's not too much that that I haven't been asked before. I've been have hosted the show for 34 years and running. I think it's the longest running continual program in Florida, where you have a continual topic, same show format, and same host. 34 years I've done the show like this. So anyway, if you'd like to be a caller today, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. So I had a client come in this week to talk about estate planning, and it was just amazing to me that everything that she thought and everything she had been told was wrong about trust. So here's some examples. She thought that if she created a trust and she named her kids in the trust, that she now had lost power to deal with all things. She thought she was, she thought she had given up power to control her estate and do what she wanted to do with her own assets. And I said, where'd you get this advice? You're talking to a neighbor over the fence. Remember the show where you got all the advice from a guy standing over the fence? You never really saw his face, but he was full of supposedly wisdom about different matters and somebody to easy talk to. Where'd you get your advice from? That guy? So it's like totally wrong. When you create a trust, you're the grantor, you're the creator, you're the trustee, you're the manager, you do whatever you want to with your own assets. There's no loss of control, no restrictions on what you do with your own assets. So it's like totally wrong. I've been told that if you create a trust, you don't put your homestead, you don't put your home in that trust. That has negative things happen when you put your home in the trust. And I said, well, that's totally false too. I said, most every client I have comes in. Now, there are a few exceptions to when you don't. But most of the time, if you create a living trust to avoid probate, I would say there are multiple reasons to create a trust, but that's certainly one of them. If you create a trust to avoid probate, there's nothing wrong with putting your home. We do a quitclaim deed from you to you as trustee. And that would keep it out of a petition to determine homestead type of procedure through the probate court. And that's a thing to do to bypass that probate step. Hey, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. This is a live call-in show I could talk for an hour, but I would much rather talk to you. And if you have a question, I would love to help you. And all you have to do is to call the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, and we are here to take your call. And if you have something you're worried about, maybe you're in a family squabble about something, maybe you have somebody in your family is not doing right concerning misusing the power of attorney, taking assets for their own benefit, not handling an estate properly, then give us a call. Again, 877-943-9673. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. You're listening to a live call-in show. It's live just about every week. Maybe once in a while there might be an exception, but we take your calls. 877-943-9673. So this lady who came in, who everything she thought about a trust was wrong. She thought she would lose control. She would thought you couldn't put your homestead into the trust. She thought that she wasn't aware of the problems that she was having with the way she was setting up her accounts, because she put her excuse me, I'm losing my voice this morning. She thought that she couldn't put assets. The way she had currently held her assets was that she had put names on her accounts, all except for her home. Every financial account she had someone's name on it. It was either like mother or daughter or son, or she had beneficiaries on everything. And she says, well, will that avoid probate? And I said, well, that would avoid probate. However, that's not really the best way to do it, because then your homestead's going to go through this procedure through the probate court. Our minimum fee to deal with a probate like that is $2,500, and that's about $700 in cost. So even if you have the smallest thing going through probate, say you have something over $6,000, like there's a kind of a quick and easy probate if you're under $6,000. But if you're over $6,000, then our minimum fee is $2,500. And you can avoid that with a trust. We'll come back to that in a little bit. Let's go to Ruth in Clearwater. Hey, Ruth.
Hi.
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 What can we do for you?
Well, I was just wondering, my husband, he was divorced in 1984, and he still pays permanent alimony. He's 72 years old now. He still has to work, and he's paid like over $800,000 to this person. Is there any relief in Florida from that nowadays?
Well, if there's been a change in circumstances, like he retired and had less income, would be a change of circumstance.
Is that right?
He could seek a modification to have it reduced. So,
okay.
Yeah, there might be. Now, has he talked to the attorney who helped him do the divorce at all about trying to get it reduced?
Well, you know, I don't even think that attorney's around. That's about 30 years ago.
Yeah, so if that attorney's not around, or he could choose another attorney to look at the matter and see what it would take to do a petition to reduce the support.
Uh-huh.
And
okay,
we
thought it was hopeless. So you're saying there is hope?
Well, no, I think it should be reviewed. And usually, when there's a change that can be made, it's based generally on a change of circumstances.
Right.
But the court order and everything would have to be reviewed. We do have a family law attorney in Pinellas County. Her name is Catherine Holtz. And if you want to contact her office, who we're talking about here can call and get an appointment for an evaluation of the case.
Okay. And how do you spell her last name?
Hult.
Hult.
Yeah, our phone number in Pinellas County is 727, of course, 586-3306, and go to extension 200.
Okay. All right, we will certainly give her a call, because you know, this person has no debt whatsoever, and she has, you know, she's over, her net worth's over $1 million about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like it's a farce that he keeps paying this. So.
All right, we'll have it reviewed and see if there's a change of circumstances. You know, if he wanted to retire and had less money, whether that would work in getting a modification of the alimony.
Okay.
All right, Ruth?
We will. All right, thank you so much.
Thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. If you have a legal question, the phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. If you have a legal question, I'd be more than glad to try to help you any way I can. Doesn't even have to be illegal. It could just be a big problem you're facing. And, you know, people get problems to deal with all the time. It's just part of life. And if you have need someone else to talk to about it, hey, give us a call. So we're going back to the common misconceptions about trust. So her misconceptions were that she didn't need one, was a misconception in my mind, because even though this lady's accounts would have avoided her financial accounts, not her real estate accounts, even though they would have avoided probate because she made children co-owners as one of her strategies, here's what's wrong with that. You put your child's name on an account. Why did you do that? Well, you did it to avoid probate. But if you put their name, like mother or son, on an account, then half of that money is considered a gift. And you, the giver, can only give away up to $15,000 per year without a gift tax consequence. Now, the consequence would be that you have to file a 709 gift tax return. And if it's over $15,000, that's required. So you file the return, but you can elect not to pay a gift tax and use up part of your lifetime exemption. But the problem is you're required to do this form if the amount of the gift, which is half of what the account was worth. So, for example, you put your son's name on an account that's $50,000. Well, that's a $25,000 gift, so that's over the $15,000, so you need to file a 709 gift tax return. Now, the worst part of the deal is if you put your son's name on that account and he becomes an owner with you and your son gets divorced, has a car accident, or gets sued in any way, then that account's in jeopardy. So why did you do that to begin with? To avoid probate. Is there a better way to avoid probate? Yeah, you could put it in a living trust. You would be the owner. You'd be the grantor, you would be the trustee, you would be the owner, you could do whatever you want to with your own assets, and they would avoid probate upon death. Now, suppose you have more than one child, and you put your son's name on that account with you, and your will says 50-50 to your two children. Well, guess what? Because you put his name on the account, that's all going to go to him, and then your estate plan pretty much gets defeated. And the position they could take is, it's mine. Mom put my name on that account. It's totally mine. Doesn't matter what her will says, I'm keeping it all. Hey, I've seen that many, many times. Hey, if you have a legal question, maybe you have some misconception. You know, when I speak at seminars, and by the way, I love doing speaking engagements, and there's no cost for that. So if you're listening to me on a Florida station, we probably have an office fairly close to you. We have 20-some offices, and would glad to come to your group. I had a client in yesterday up in Jacksonville that had heard one of our attorneys speak at a senior expo. We love doing that type of thing and love to come to your group. It could be a church group. It could be a senior group that meets at church during the week. It could be AARP. It could be retirement groups. It could be New York, New Jersey clubs that meet here. Whatever. If you have a group that needs a speaker, hey, give us a call. Our toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529 is our office number. If you have a legal question today for Ask an Attorney all about Florida law, phone lines are open. You have a toll-free number to call the radio show, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open for your questions. So again, if you have beneficiaries on accounts, that was another thing this lady had done that thought was going to work great. So she named beneficiaries on accounts. So now they weren't all the same. She'd have some accounts going to one child and some accounts going to another child. So that doesn't usually work very well because guess what? You become incapacitated and you've given someone a power of attorney and they need to access your funds. Which account are they going to access? Well, they might not want to take funds out of an account where they know they're the beneficiary, and they take it out of other accounts where they weren't a beneficiary. So if you, and then you have to become incapacitated, or you have to die. If the account has a named beneficiary, you have to die before they get it. If it's inside a trust, it can be used for your benefit while you're living. So the benefit of a trust is you avoid probate of any assets you put in the trust. You avoid guardianship because the trustee can get to the assets for your benefit if you're living, unlike just if you have a simple named beneficiary on an account. All right, so you're listening to Ask an Attorney. Phone lines are open. If you have a legal question, all you have to do is to call the show at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And let's go to Greg in Largo.
Good morning.
Hey, Greg.
My question is, should a safety deposit box be in a trust checking account or outside of a checking account trust?
The most common thing to do with a safe deposit box would be to have an authorized signatory on the box. So, you know, like a son or a daughter or something like that would be, you take them to the bank and get them to sign a signatory card to where it's clear on the bank records that someone else has the authority to get into the box. That would be the best way. Now, the box could be owned by the trust. That would be another choice, but I think it's far simpler just to have you're like your first successor or trustee that you've named in your trust if you have a trust. Take them to the bank and make them an authorized signatory on the box now. Then they can get to the box anytime they need to for your benefit.
Okay.
And just because they are having signing privileges on the box don't mean they own the contents in the box.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your help. And I trust you, and you've done work for me before, so thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Phone lines are open, so let's give you the number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. And let's go to Debbie in Winter Haven.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
I have a question for you that I'm sure you can answer. And I have some rental properties, and usually I put them in a trust, but I have one that's in my name individually, and I'm getting ready to sell it. If I transfer it to a trust now and then sell it, I would not have to pay Social Security tax on the gain. Is that right? And Medicare.
No, you and the trust are the same entity, so I don't think it's going to change your tax situation.
It was my understanding that if the property is held by a company like an LLC.
Yeah, but see, an LLC is a different entity with a different tax number. Your living trust uses your Social Security number, and you and the trust are the same entity.
All right, I understand. So if I now transfer it to an LLC and then sell it, I won't have to pay, the LLC won't have to pay Social Security or Medicare.
Yeah, but you might have...
With no gain.
Yeah, there's no stepped-up basis or anything to be concerned about? So what did you pay for the property, for example? Just
It's got like $80,000 of equity.
All right, so but did you pay like $104,000 and now it's worth $180,000?
Yeah. I don't know. I paid it so long ago, and then it was changed in a bankruptcy to a different amount. And
do you have an account or a CPA?
I paid about $170,000 originally, and now I owe $100,000.
Yeah, but you paid $170,000. What's it worth?
It's worth $180, but I got to pay about $20 in repairs before I can sell it.
Okay, so there's really no gain. I mean, if you pay, there's no gain in the property.
Oh, my gosh, that's wonderful.
No, right?
Okay.
Is that right?
That's good news. I guess there is, and I was thinking there was because I only owe $100, and I'm going to get $170 or $80 or something.
No, they go from the original price and then what the value's grown to. Hey, Debbie, the best thing you can do would be to go visit with a CPA and throw the facts out on the table for a CPA and let the CPA advise you if it'd be worthwhile to do an LLC. It sounds like to me that you wouldn't even need that. It sounds once you have the repairs and the extra cost that you put into the property, it sounds like you're not going to have much of a gain from the original price you paid.
Excellent.
I mean, that's what I just from the little bit of time we have, but I'd have a CPA take a look at it for you.
Wonderful. That was good news. What a great to start my day. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. If you have a legal question, then all you have to do is to give us a call. I'm in Jacksonville right now doing a show from Jacksonville, and on the way in, I listened to the station that I broadcast from in Jacksonville. And there's a fishing show on right before me, and this morning it wasn't on. So I'm wondering, I said, what's going on with this? You know, is it Captain Vic? Captain Vic runs the show. Great guy. Loves talking to him a little bit as we swap chairs and see him. And so whenever you listen to somebody on a regular basis and then they're not on and you don't really have a reason and they have some show on that you never heard before from somebody not even in the area, then you wonder what's going on. So I understand Captain Vic had been in the hospital and was unable to come do the show live today. So if you're in Jacksonville, if you're not in Jacksonville, we're on like 12 stations around Florida. So only if you're in Jacksonville will this make any difference to you. But Captain Vic is doing well. He just wasn't able to do the show today, in case you're wondering. Hey, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. And it's open. It's open at this phone number is 877-943-9673, and phone lines are open. So if I can help you in any way, all you have to do is to dial that number and be more than glad to chat with you. So what kind of assets do you not put into a trust? Do you not put into a trust? And there are a few. And you don't put automobiles in a trust, for example. I mean, you can, but it's not necessary in Florida because automobiles do not go through a probate process. There's an easy way where the personal representative named in a will can go to DMV and get that car moved. There might be some power of attorney forms and some other things that are required, but there's no probate. The other asset you don't put in a living trust would be retirement accounts. Don't go in. So a retirement account has a beneficiary and almost has to. If it's done properly, it's going to have a beneficiary. Now, I have clients this week that have young children and they had a large retirement account. Do you make the young child that's not, you know, that's 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or anything under 18 the beneficiary? No. So what you do is you make the trust the beneficiary, but there has to be special language in there not to cause a taxable event, like all the taxes do at once. So a trust can hold things like that, and that's a good thing to do. You need to talk to your estate planning attorney. We'd be glad to help you if you don't have one. Let's go to Julia. Hey, Julia.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, where are you calling from?
Parrish, Florida.
Parrish, okay. Yeah, we have an office in Sun City Center, right?
I just moved from the West Coast to Florida 3 months ago.
Yes.
And I haven't had time to put my house into a living trust. But I wanted to know if I should put it in an LLC. So
no, your home's, that's just going to be your homestead?
Can't be sued. Yeah, it's the house.
Well, no, okay. In Florida, you're from another state, but in Florida, your homestead is a protected asset from creditors. So it's no need to create a separate entity for your homestead like an LLC. So if you have a living trust, then we would do, I could do, a, or you or whatever attorney you choose to, could do a quitclaim deed from you to you as trustee of your trust to avoid probate, but it's not necessary to create a separate entity for asset protection on the homestead. It's already protected.
Oh, okay. And also, I know the tax collector's office sent me a letter or something about filing for homestead exemption by next March.
Yeah, if you have to be the owner as of January 1st and file for the exemption before March the 1st.
Yeah, I don't understand even what it's about, but I am the owner.
Yeah, well, you can just go to the local courthouse and, you know, you're doing a, you can file for the homestead exemption. If you got the letter, the contact information of where you go is on that letter.
Yeah, but what does a homestead exemption do for you?
It gives you certain tax breaks. One would be they can't raise the taxes but so much per year on a homestead, on a primary residence. You get taxed. Oh, you get okay. You get a homestead exemption on the tax rate. It all it's all good things that save you money. So you should go do it. And there's okay. there's nothing negative about it either. So I mean that'd be definitely something you want to do.
Okay.
And if you have documents from another state that you want reviewed, we don't. Our firm does not charge to review documents and advise what changes would need to be made to make it work better in Florida. And we do have offices in Sun City Center, which is right next to Parrish, actually. So.
Oh, okay. Because my living trust I had was with the house I sold. So does that make it still good?
Your living trust was what?
I had a living trust done like 10 or 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I sold my house to buy this house. But is it still...
Yeah, well, most likely, we could review it, but most likely, a trust, I call it a bucket. So you have the rest of your life to put things in, take things out. So when you sell something that's in the trust, it doesn't make the trust not valid anymore. So you're still there to, you know, to put your next property, your next house can be titled to the trust. So it shouldn't be a problem.
Oh, okay.
All right?
All right, thanks.
All right, thank you, Julia.
Okay, bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. We're more than halfway through the show right now. So if you have a question, give us a call at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Robert. And Robert, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Seminole.
All right. What can we do for you?
Quick question. Been renting a house month to month for the last 10 years. The landlord had some unfortunate circumstances, and she came by and says, you have 30 days to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have any recourse? Because I can't find a place, physically move, and do everything in 30 days. So,
well, when did she give? When did she give you the notice?
2 days ago. And it wasn't in a written form. It was just kind of a verbal, you know, knock on the door situation. I'm thinking about, and then I got a text saying, you know, no, we're going to do what I was thinking about. You got 30 days. So I was just,
all right,
you know,
so
you
here's,
can't hardly move out of a house in 30 days.
Well, okay, so the 30, did your month-to-month lease, was that in writing?
I believe so, but that's 10 years ago, so I really don't know. My wife says no, I say yes, so and we wouldn't know where the paperwork was anyway.
Okay. Well, I think she has the right to ask you to leave. I think that if she gave you notice on August the 2nd,
yep.
You know, if she gave you notice on August 2nd, that you she has to give you... She would have had to give you notice on August 1st or the last day of July to make you leave by the end of August.
Yeah, no, it was August 2nd.
All right, so I think you probably have the right to stay there till the end of September because she didn't give you the notice timely by August the 1st.
And should it be in writing, too?
Well, it should be, but what I would do is to tell her that you've talked to an attorney, which you have, and because notice wasn't given on August 1st, you are not planning on leaving until the end of September.
Okay.
And see what happens. Okay.
And then I would be legally in my rights to do that?
Yeah, I believe so.
All right, fantastic.
And maybe you can work it out with her.
All right, well, thank you very much.
And if not, we have an attorney in the office that could maybe intercede for you. His name is Jim. So if that doesn't work for some reason, contact Jim, and he might be able to help you there.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Bye now.
You listen to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. Phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Let's go to Juanita in Bradenton. Hey, Juanita.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. And you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. I just have a quick question. I just recently had bought a home, and at the time of closing, stated on the closing paperwork that my mortgage, my insurance, and my taxes will be combined in one full payment. Well, it ended up that the mortgage is saying now that my taxes are not included in the payment and that I'm liable to pay for those taxes. What can I do at this point?
I think somebody would have to review all of your paperwork to determine what's going on with that. So they were going to hold money in escrow?
Yes.
As part of you're going to have pay number of X dollars, and part of that was going to be in escrow, and they're going to set that aside to pay the taxes.
And insurance, yes.
And insurance. And now they're not doing that?
No. They want me to pay the taxes.
They want you, so... Was there enough being held to pay the taxes?
Yes.
And they stopped taking that amount of money and want you to pay the taxes directly?
No, they're still taking the same amount of money every month. However, when it was time to pay taxes, they billed me for that amount, and now they claim that I owe that money because I didn't pay taxes all this time that I owned this property.
Oh, so you're backed up on your tax bill?
Supposedly.
And then you refinance? Then you refinance the property? And under the new mortgage, they were going to set aside an amount of money?
No, I didn't refinance anything. I just purchased it, actually.
Okay, you just... What was the date of purchase?
It's been like 8 months already.
8 months. Yes. So there are no back taxes that were not paid before that, right? Because you are a new purchaser.
Well, supposedly, according to them, they, like in March, when it's time for tax and all that, they send me a bill, and I've been, you know, fighting with them since then to see who's liable to pay those taxes.
Well, Anita, somebody, you need to go make an appointment with somebody who can sit down with you and look at your papers and discuss it, you know, in person. I don't think a 2 minute or 3 minute phone call is going to help you very much here.
Okay.
And then attorney would have to see the papers before they could really help you.
I see. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open for, I don't know, 20 more minutes or so. No, not quite that much. 15 minutes. And if you have a legal question, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Me more than glad to help you. If you'd like our free estate planning poster sheet, it's a full-size poster sheet, double-sided. Lots of information on there about estate planning. Goes through what your three options are. Goes through a cost analysis of probate. Has a little diagram with a trust showing you how trusts work. And talks about the three options you have in estate planning and a little bit about each of the options and the pluses and minuses of those options. On the other side of the sheet has all of our contact information, our office locations, addresses of offices, phone numbers of offices. All of the attorneys are listed. Has radio show information listed. Has website information listed. If you'd like this free, handy sheet just to look at, we pay the postage. We'll be glad to mail it to you. So you can get it one of three ways. You can call our toll-free office number, which is the office number is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me your name and address at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe at attypip.com. You can text me your name and address at 727-667-3967. That's 727-667-3967. All right, let's go to Mary Lee in Clearwater. Hey, Mary Lee.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for all you do. This is really a good program.
Well, thank you. So what can I do for you today?
I'm working on a trust, and if a family member is my beneficiary and my health surrogate,
mm-hmm.
but say my attorney is my trustee and has the power of attorney,
mm-hmm.
how do the assets get handled?
You mean when you die?
No, if I'm still living.
Are you the trustee while you're living, or is the attorney the trustee?
I would be the trustee until I would not be capable.
Okay, now what's your question again? So when you die, the attorney takes over, pays your bills, does the taxes, and follows the distribution scheme you've devised in the trust?
No, I'm talking about prior to my death.
Well, prior to your death, are you competent or incompetent in this question?
Incompetent.
Okay, there you go. So if you become incapacitated, the attorney would get, you can, if you're competent, you could resign. I mean, you see things going on, you don't want to handle your assets, you can resign. That's the easy way. If you became incapacitated without resigning, then the attorney/trustee would get two doctor's letters that you're not able to be the trustee, and then that would give them a way to take over as a trustee for your benefit while you're living. And then
Right. Then
when you die, the taxes and expenses would be paid, then the money would be, and the trust would be distributed according to your instructions.
Okay, so if the attorney becomes the trustee, how does the attorney's office handle the assets?
Well, hopefully the same way that you would. I mean, they would marshal, collect the assets, pay your bills, take care of you and the lifestyle you're accustomed.
Okay.
So, but, you know, every attorney is a little bit different. It'd probably be good for you to sit down face-to-face with the attorney and ask him, what are you going to do if I become incapacitated? How are you going to operate? Are you going to keep the accounts where they are? Are you going to move the accounts? You know, just give me a little outline of how you're going to proceed if I become incapacitated, and just hear him verbalize it, him or her.
Mm-hmm.
Verbalize it. That would be a good thing for you to do. It'd be a good exercise for you to have the peace of mind and know how things are going to be handled.
Okay.
Also, you might want to discuss the fee with the attorney. How they're going to charge for being the trustee.
Right, and if there are investments, say in mutual funds and things like that, then the attorney handles the. Any changes in that, or is there?
Yeah, the trustee is responsible to handle whatever is in the trust at that point.
Okay, so is there, say, a financial fiduciary that's part of your firm that does that?
Well, yeah, we have worked with several financial fiduciaries, and we our first. Thing would probably be to want to work with whoever you're working with. We're not into taking accounts that your account that you have a relationship with someone away from the financial concern if they can meet our needs of what we need to do as a trustee.
Mm-hmm.
But right. if they don't meet the needs, or we need to consolidate a few things, then we have financial advisors we work with.
Okay. Do you need to create an income trust to qualify a person for Medicaid?
You do if their income that they presently get exceeds the amount that would otherwise disqualify them. So if they have too much income, there's a way to create an income trust so they still qualify. But they have to exceed the amount of income. You know, so if your spouse is getting ready to go in a nursing home and they have $3,000 a month in income and you can only have two, just to give you an example, then you create an income trust to capture the extra income so he would still qualify.
I see. Okay.
All right.
I have one other question, I think, if you have time.
All right, go ahead.
When an agent of a trust has the power of attorney uh-huh. and makes investments, can that agent be paid by the trust for that service?
Yes.
Okay. So they also can create a contract for themselves as a service provider so they can be paid by the trust?
Okay, so it's a Medicaid question, though?
No.
All right, see, a successor trustee and power of attorney, they're two different documents. So the power of attorney is designed to handle things outside the trust, and the trustee or successor trustee is designed to only handle things inside the trust. Most of the time when I get that question is whether a power of attorney can create this income trust or personal service contract so a person can move assets around to qualify for Medicaid, and generally the answer to that is yes.
Okay.
But it all has to be for the benefit of the person who gave him the power of attorney, though.
Right.
Mary Lee, I think you need to go have a meeting with your attorney and have a face-to-face and discuss all these things.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
I will do that.
All right, thanks. Okay. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. Let's go to David in Jacksonville.
Good morning.
Hey, Dave.
Just a quick question for you. When my wife and I married 16 years ago, and we have no children, we made up wills, and the deed to the house is in her name. We didn't want to put me on it at that time. The only reason was that the cost of $1,700-$1,800 worth of stamps had to go on the deed. If she dies, or when she dies, does that will have to go into probate? In the will, she leaves me all of her assets, and my will, I leave her all of my assets. Mm-hmm. Does that have to be probated?
Well, what has to be probated is what's in just the deceased person's name. So if the house is just in her, is this a second marriage?
For me, not for her. It's her first marriage.
Okay, so she has no children prior to the first marriage.
No, she had no children.
Okay, so you would be, under that circumstance, you'd be entitled to the house anyway. But since the house is going to be just in her name,
right.
Then it would have to go through probate to get to you.
Oh.
Is there still a mortgage on the property?
Yes, there is.
Well, you might consider going ahead and deeding the property with the permission of the mortgage company from husband to husband and wife and see what they say.
Oh, okay.
All right.
What's the probate length of the probate process?
Probate is normally 6 months to a year.
Oh, really?
But that doesn't mean the house couldn't be transferred to you sooner than, you know, it could be transferred to you pretty quick after we started the process.
Oh, really? Okay.
And particularly since it's homestead and it's protected from creditors.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, David?
Yeah, I would. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Let's go to Edgar in Sarasota.
In Sarasota. We listen to you all the time, and we finally have a question for you.
All right, great. What can I do for you?
We recently bought a condo as an investment property, intending to rent it out, never intending to live in it. and it is now tenanted. There is somebody in there, and they just renewed the lease. They renewed it before we bought the property for a period of a year. Now, the condo association is saying that because the condo changed hands, that lease is invalid and the property should be considered empty for their purposes. Their purposes are some complicated rigmarole they've got about empty units, and they're in the order in which they can be rented out and so on. It's kind of silly. But everything we read says that a lease in place supersedes the sale of the property, that the new owner is bound to pay attention to the, must live by the terms of the lease in existence as long as there's no violation by the renters. We try and find that, but I can't, so we can present it to the condo association and prove our point.
All right, do you have a letter? Okay, so you're the new owner of the property.
Correct.
And you have a tenant in this property with a signed lease.
Correct.
And do you have a letter of complaint about something? Because I didn't quite follow the story as to what they are objecting to. You said changed hands, but a lease is not really changing hands because it's just a lease. You're still the owner.
Right. But they're saying that the rental lease is not valid because the unit changed hands.
Well, it didn't change hands, though. They're considering a lease changing hands?
It's not a property changing hands. We just bought the property.
Yeah, but a lease is not a change of ownership.
No.
So I don't know. Do they have something in writing they sent you?
Do they have anything in writing they've sent us?
They said they didn't accept it.
They didn't accept what? They didn't accept the renewed lease.
All right.
Okay.
Now that's from the board of directors or somebody?
Yeah.
Right. And that's in writing?
Is that in writing? Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, if you want to send me a copy of that, I'd be glad to look at it and review it a little bit and call you on the phone and tell you what I think. Then I think if I see it in writing, I'll see exactly what they're objecting to.
Okay.
But do all leases have to generally be approved by the board before?
Yeah, right.
And was this one approved?
Was this one ever approved, Marty?
Sure.
Yeah, originally it was by the board.
Okay, and it was just...
But now they say it's invalid because the ownership of the property changed hands.
Well, did the ownership change? Because a lease is not a change of ownership. That's what I'm getting stuck on.
Yeah, well, I thought we bought the property after the new lease had been executed.
And there was the same tenant?
Yeah, same tenant.
Can you just present the lease and ask for the board to approve it now?
Can we just present the lease and ask the board to approve it?
They've said no.
They won't accept it.
All right. Well, if they said all that in writing, send it to me, and I'll be glad to take a look at it.
What's your address?
Okay, so send it to 19, unless you want to scan it and email it to me. Is that possible?
Sure, I'd rather do that.
Yeah, so the email address is Joe, at attypip.com.
EIP.com. Okay, we'll scan it and send it to you.
All right. And if you didn't get that down quite right, the phone number at the office is 1-800-226-3529.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Okay, Joe, thanks. Just wonder if there's
I've got 30 seconds.
Florida,
I've got to go. I'm sorry.
In the Florida statues that
I've got to go. I've got less than 30 seconds now. But all right. So you're listening to Ask an Attorney, All About Florida Law. Hey, Jack from Newport Richey, if you want to call my cell phone, I'd be glad to talk to you at 727-667-3967. It's Attorney Joe Pippin. Stay tuned or come back every week at this time for Ask an Attorney, All About Florida Law.